Welcome to the Third City Christian Church podcast. This week's message is Game Plan, Part 6, Treasures in Heaven, recorded Sunday, September 15th, 2024. If you have a story about how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to podcast@thirdcityc.org. Now here's Scott with today's message.
Before we go into this topic, we do need to acknowledge something, and that is that, and listen to me here, when a person struggles with generosity, it's never an issue of resources, never. Like people will say to ourselves, and I've been there, friend. I'm speaking to the choir, but you know, once I get out of debt, I'll give more. I've been there, I've said that. Or I'm as generous as I can be with what I have. Or I've said this, you know, when I make more money, I'll give more money. Well, I will tell you, I learned about, 40 years ago, that is a really bad game plan for the kingdom of God, to have that viewpoint. Because giving generosity doesn't work that way for anyone, okay? Like, I'll give you an example of this. Jesus, our perfect teacher, gives an illustration that he sees unfold before him. So they're standing at the temple where people brought their gifts, and all these people of means were walking up to the giving box, and they were throwing in with kind of a fanfare. They were throwing in their offering, ooh, ooh. And his disciples were impressed by that. And then here comes this little lady, and I'll just read it to you here, it's perfect. And he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites, which is literally in our vernacular, nothing, okay? He said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, has put in all the livelihood that she has. I love the terminology, the livelihood. Her life wrapped into her devotion to God in what she gave. And as we've been learning from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, right living is not about right opportunities. It's about right motives. So with that in mind, we're going to wrap up this little segment in the Sermon on the Mount that we've been calling the Game Plan series. And the topic is, yes, it's giving. And like prayer and like fasting, Jesus warns us at the outset, be careful. Be careful. Now, I will tell you, I'm always careful when I preach about money. I'm always cautious because people get edgy. They do. Like, I do get feedback oftentimes after a message on generosity. And there are reasons for that. I will say one reason is that churches, the big picture church, has not always been really great in this topic. Like, you know, there's just been some misuse that's happened in churches in the big picture sense, in the worldwide sense. But sometimes people are uncomfortable with the topic because there's something going on in their heart that God wants to get at. And I'm sensitive to that too. And I would say that most of us, our views have been shaped, at least in part, on generosity by the examples and attitudes that we have had in our life. So for instance, if your parents raised you and they were generous people and they were good with resources, helping other people, they were kind and hospitable and they were generous people in their local church, you're probably gonna be that way too at some level. But if you never had that example, then obviously you're gonna grow in that. You're gonna have to if you're in the kingdom of God. But the key point that Jesus makes, and it's consistent with all of his teachings about money, about material resources, is generosity is not about how much you have. It's about your heart. And you know what? Only you and Jesus can deal with the heart. So let's just go right into this teaching. It's Matthew chapter 6, 19. And I'm going to read through it and then make some comments about it. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For what? Where your treasure is, what? That's where your heart will be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We'll talk about that and explain that in a minute. Going back to the primary topic, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Oh. See, it's not a question of devotion. You are devoted. Everyone in this room is devoted. You can't deny it. Question is, what master? No question, I'm devoted to things. And that's true on a variety of levels. And it should be, by the way. I'm devoted to my marriage. I'm devoted to my children, my grandchildren. I'm devoted to this church family. I love this church family. I'm devoted to you as your pastor, your preacher. I'm devoted to many things. I'm devoted to, you know, to washing my cars once a month. You know, I'm devoted to some things. Here's the question. Will I make his kingdom my top devotion, my top priority? Now, mammon's a word that we never throw around in 21st century America. It didn't come up the debates the other night, I don't think. I didn't watch them all. I didn't hear the word mammon come up once, although it pretty much was through the debate in terms of the concept. Many translations, including the one I read earlier, doesn't use the word mammon, it uses the word money. What is mammon? To understand the word, let's talk about the word amen first. I think we do throw the word amen around a lot in our day and age and in our church. So we sing a song and then, you know, it's a beautiful song and it might even have the word amen in the song. Or if it doesn't, we might, in our heart or our words, we might say it, amen, amen, you know, amen. Or, you know, you're praying and you're, you know, it's dinner time and you got to figure out a way to wrap that prayer up somehow and you know how to do it, say amen, you know, so. But you know, you're out at your favorite Mexican restaurant. I've got about 12 in town, and your buddy says, "Man, that's the best torta I ever ate," and I say, "Amen, brother, amen." You know, because so it's like you're saying, "Word, it's true. I agree with this statement of that this is a trustworthy thing." Now, how does that apply to mammon? All right, I'm going to tell you how it applies. The word mammon is most likely derived from the Semitic languages such as Aramaic and Hebrew, which Jesus spoke. And it was common to put an M on front of the word amen. So amen means you trust something to be true. Mammon means you trust something to be true. And it's about the deities in your life that run your life. Mammon is a god, just as our father is a god. So mammon is the little g god in your life. Amen is the big G god, our god of worship. Mammon is personified by Jesus as some kind of superhero power, superhuman power that stands in competition for my heart. Mammon, my amen. Are you with me on this? And so it's interesting that you'll read, you know, in all of our paper currency that we pull out of our wallets, at least we used to. We use cards everywhere now. And it says on all of it, it says, "In God we trust." And the question is, in what God do we trust? I mean, because I've always wondered, well, that's really good that our country says, "Oh, we're going to trust in God with our money." But is our country really saying we're going to trust in our money as our God? I mean, I don't know. It depends on your heart. Where's your heart at? So when your amen, I'm going to just break it down two steps. When your amen is material and not God, when you're devoted to material wealth, you probably don't even think about God until you need God. Just my observation about my life and some of yours. So sometimes what we do is we say, well, I'll pull on God when I need him. Otherwise, I'll trust in this mammon thing because it seems to be getting me by. Okay, it's kind of like we use God like a drive-through at a fast food restaurant. Like he's not on my mind until I'm hungry, and then I go to the fast food restaurant to get a little bit of God. A little quick pick-me-up with God. The last few weeks, we've been challenged on three basic life concepts that derive directly from Jesus' teaching. And he's talking about worship in all of this, by the way. And what we've learned is that in prayer and in fasting and now in generosity, it comes back to the motive. What's behind it? So just a quick review. Those whose amen is not God, it's mammon, we crave acceptance from people more than we do God. We prioritize pleasing people over and against pleasing our Lord Jesus. We do religious things like fasting to prove our piety. We pray to be seen by others rather than to speak to our Father. We give when it's convenient, if we give at all. We give because we believe we'll be given credit for it in this room or in this world, rather than before our Father in worship. The focus is on the rewards that I'm going to get in this life from what I do with my religion versus the rewards that he's going to place before me in his everlasting kingdom. And you know, if that's me, I'm no different from the rest of the world. I'm serving my own self-interests. I'm devoted to the amen of me. And he won't play that game, friend, whether you like it or not. So what about when your amen is God, the Father? The Father of lights, the Father of heaven. What about that? What are some signs that you are devoted to? Amen. Now, here's a few questions you can answer. I think, I'm going to challenge you, if you will be honest, and please do, be honest with answering these three questions. I think if you do this, he's going to move you closer to a heart that represents his. Okay, here's the first question. These are all in the scripture. What are you storing away? What are you storing? Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and thieves cannot steal those things. Here's a fact. That's a fact about me anyway. You can answer this for yourself. I spend money on what I care about. I mean, where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. I can't deny that. I can deflect it, but the simple matter of fact is the way you spend money reveals your priorities. Argue with me on that? Well, maybe argue with him. He's the one saying it. So if you spend your money on your home, you're into your home. If you spend your money on concerts, you're into music. If you spend your money on your team, you're into sports. Your guns, you're into shooting stuff or whatever, honey. If you spend money on developing your child's budding superstar aspirations in dance or sports, you're into that. If you spend your money on travel, you're into travel. If you spend your money on stocks, you're probably into building wealth for the future. If you spend your money on anime figurine collections, I love you, you're weird. I love you though. I'm weird. Now listen, it's okay to be into stuff. I mean, in certain senses. Like, it's okay to take care of your home. It's an investment. It's certainly okay to be into your kids and developing your children. Please do. They need you to be the parents that way. It's okay to be anime. You know, that's not sin. Yeah, God bless you, you know. But let me ask you a simple question. In the treasures you're amassing, how much are you storing up with God? Like, are you being generous to God in that? I mean, are you generously giving back to the kingdom of God, which Rachel so adequately described in the work that's happening here at Third City? And there's many other places in the world that you can invest. But if you're not investing in his kingdom in a big way, it's a sign that God really isn't a priority in your life, period. So here's a simple exercise you can do to determine where your true devotion is. You go back over the last 6 months, you do an audit, you put into categories things like home, autos, travel, entertainment, savings, hobbies, whatever, and put this category there too, giving to God. And then quite simply ask this question. If God looks at my storage categories, where does he stack up? Did I say don't travel, by the way? Did I say that? I did not. Did I say don't have a home or cars or figurines or, I didn't say that. Did I say don't get tickets and don't go to the game? I didn't say that. I did last night. Okay. Did I say don't save for the future? No, I did not. I'm just asking you to ask the simple and answer the simple question, where's the storage categories and how do they look? And how does God fit? Would God challenge me on my storage spaces, my devotion? Now, listen, I've been doing this for a few years. And I've used plenty of guilt to move people forward, okay? And I apologize for that. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that guilt is it's an inadequate way to motivate people. You come at me and start making me feel guilty, I go, peace out, friend, you know? Like, you know, my heart doesn't get moved by guilt, okay? I have to work through it with God on that. I didn't share this to make you feel guilty, but, and again, I also want to say this, because Rachel said it in a certain way. Some of you are so generous. Like, you are amazingly generous. And it has nothing to do with how much you have. It's about the person that's behind it. You're amazing. We see it here all the time. I mean, you are just so good because God's good to you and you live your life that way. But what can I do, no matter where I am on this discussion, to live in the amen of devotion with my possessions and resources before God? Now, Jesus throws this in the kind of the middle of this little section, and it took me a while to figure this out. What's he getting at? He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, the whole body will be full of light, but if your eyes are unhealthy, the whole body full of darkness. How great is the darkness if that describes you? How does that relate to this issue of mammon and amen? Here's another question for you. What will you let your heart see and embrace? Because there's nothing more core to the human mind than what motivates our hearts. And it usually begins with the eyes, like with what we long for, what we desire, what we see, what we want. I think that's what he's getting at. So if I'm going to be devoted to God over everything else, I need to see how my desires, my heart, sees things. What do I tend to think about repeatedly throughout the day? Where will I let my eyes, my desires, take me? There are things I like to talk about more than other things. It might be football. It might be politics. It might be your kids or your grandkids. It might be The Bachelor. Is that still a thing, that tired old show, The Bachelor? Is that still a thing? I don't even know. I've never watched that show. But it might be Travis and Taylor. I know who they are. It might be the stock market. Because when I'm passionate about something, I'm going to talk about it. My eyes are open to it. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What is my mind on? What are my eyes looking toward? Let's take it a step further. What breaks your heart? I mean, when you're devoted to God, you're going to be broken by the things that break him. Your heart's open to seeing his broken heart. towards others, towards issues. When I pray with his heart, your kingdom come, your will be done. When I give, my giving goes toward his causes for the world. I care about his vision, his purpose, his desire to reach the lost. I have compassion for the broken and the poor. Here's the third question. What master gets your heart? What master gets your heart? No one can serve two masters. It's a simple statement about living life in contradiction, about not living with competing interests. It's just a short little saying about God and money that's very memorable and has been echoed since the day that he gave his life for us on a cross. You know, wealth has power. Mammon has power. It deceives us into trusting in something that will eventually be eaten by time and vermin. And I think we're often surprised how quickly that sneaks up on us. I know I'm surprised. It's when I look back and I say, man, that was so important to me at the time. Now I look and I go, what was I thinking? Why did I put so much of my time and energy and resources and emotion into that hunk of junk? Whatever that hunk of junk is. Am I devoted to God before all others? If so, bless you. If so, your game plan will flourish. You will grow. You will change. You'll be involved in a life that really matters. You will be filled rather than empty. You will grow in purpose and spiritual confidence. And why is that? Because you're becoming more like Jesus, that's why. Jesus, the most generous human being who ever walked on this earth, who had literally nothing but the clothes on his back. Now, you're not gonna be perfect. Like me, like everyone in this room, for that matter, you're gonna still struggle with priorities. You're not always gonna pray the right kind of prayers, and sometimes you're gonna come off very hypocritical. You're not always gonna do all the right religious things, and if you do religious things, you're not always gonna come off like spiritual, but rather about yourself. You're gonna do stuff like that, because you're human. But you know what? When he has this, that's gonna keep changing. And your Father in heaven and your King on earth are gonna take note of that, and you're gonna give, and you're gonna pray, and sometimes even fast. And he is gonna see what he needs to see. And that is a person who said, Lord, I'm gonna give you the game plan. You scribble on that board what you want from me, and I'm gonna start trying to do that the very best I can. And we're gonna see what happens. We're gonna commune together. We're going to come to this time when we're going to remember the most generous action that's ever occurred in the history of humankind. When God himself put himself on a cross so that he could redeem us and save us and buy us back from the degradation of this world and the sin that we so often contribute to it. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you in full confession that I have not always been on top of my game plan when it comes to the resources you placed in my hands. Sometimes I've been stingy. Sometimes I've been selfish. Sometimes I've looked at the bottom line and said, you know, I need to control that more than let you to control it. And even this week, as I prepared this message, it caused me to, again, to be careful. Be careful, because this is a heart matter that really does matter. So Lord, I just wanna, in this moment of the Lord's Supper, I wanna lay that before you again. I'm gonna take the cup and the loaf, and I'm gonna remember that you're a God of mercy and grace who wants to change me from the inside out. And I'll go with you on that. Wherever I am today in this moment, I'm gonna say, Lord, right now in this moment, I'm gonna go with you on that. Because you said you'll step into this with me in the biggest way possible by giving yourself for me. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, to all my anime friends out there, I apologize. I also want to say this as a contradiction in my own life. So, like, things that I'll do are things like I'll put on all red clothing. I'll spend like a whole day in a stadium full of other people with all red clothing on, and I'll scream for this group of teenagers down there that are wearing red clothing. And so you're weird too, but you're my people. I just want to say that. So, but anyway, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Is there one step you can take to move your heart closer to God when it comes to this issue of mammon, amen? One step. I could give you all kinds of examples, but I think that maybe God can speak to you on this, and I don't need to. There's something in your heart that He wants. If you're like me and everyone else in this room, and it is represented by what you say as a priority in your life. We've had these game plan cards out, you know, for the last few weeks. There's some around the building if you want to pick one up. I just want to challenge you to do an inventory. Look at the categories in your lifestyle and ask, God, how do you feel about the categories and what I'm putting my heart to? And then write it down like, God, I'm going to change this for you. This is what I'm going to do for you. Or I'm going to keep doing this because I've been so enriched by you. How could I not do this? I don't know. If you're not tithing, I would say, please consider that as your beginning point. That's because that's the minimum standard that God puts before His Christians in the body of Christ. And so, if you know, you may not be able to start at 10% because it's a lot to do if you've not been doing anything, but do something and move into it and have this resolute plan to say, Lord, I'm going to give you from the first fruits of my life the best I have, and start somewhere. Because you know what? He knows and notices that. And it makes a difference for you and Him as you store up treasures in heaven. I'm just challenging you to take a step, that's all. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Third City Christian Church podcast. Please join us for one of our live worship services at 8:45, 10:15, or 11:30 a.m. in Grand Island, and at 10:15 a.m. in Broken Bow on Facebook Live and at thirdcityc.online.church each Sunday. For more information about Third City Christian Church, send email to podcast@thirdcityc.org. Call us at 308-384-5038 or visit us online at thirdcityc.org.